Item number six is an application for subdivision and rezoning for Lot 24, Creek Bend Road, under file DASZ 6 of 2011. In accordance with the City of Winnipeg Charter and the Development Procedures Bylaw, this is a combined hearing, and the following item will be heard at the same time, namely, item 7, under file DAV 111766/2007D.
Robert Lee, the applicant, is with us. Here we have
the applicant's father.
I was going to say. And David Watson is here for information.
Just for the committee's edification, Robin Lee can't make it. I believe he's sandbagging his property, and his father is appearing on his behalf.
Oh.
So I am just sent to the fire without any knowledge, but he did read the report. He's agreed with everything and has no problems with any of the recommendations.
Fair enough. We'll ask you to stand down, and if there's any concerns raised, then I'm sure we'll bring a horrified you back to try to respond to them. Okay, thank you. David Watson for information. Yep. Welcome, Mr. Watson.
Hello, David Watson, 245 Creek Bend Road. I don't have a brief from the Save Our Sane organization, so I'm speaking as a private citizen and as a resident of Creek Bend Road. I've been here over the last few years on a yearly basis to deal with the ongoing development of Creek Bend Road, and there's two more lots left to go, so you have twice more to see me probably before this is all said and done. As we know, as it moves farther and the sewers are extended, essentially the more and more of the road is being paved. And that process, with the process of removal of the old road and the development of the new road, last year we were told it would be 2 weeks in August. It ended up actually being 2.5 months, and then actually the road was finished 2 days before the snowfall. So my neighbors have asked me, as Councillor Steves may know through a private correspondence through email, we have school buses, three school buses every morning that use our road, and there is no turnaround because we haven't been incorporated as a cul-de-sac area. Essentially, we're asking that, as last year when Mr. Lee and Precon built a temporary access road for the residents of Creek Bend Road and for their own use for the construction purposes, we would ask that, if necessary as a condition of the agreement this evening, that provisions be made that we at least be allowed to use their temporary construction road. And I'm not even saying it has to be two lane. Even there's a good sight line, even probably one lane would do it. But we have to find a way to let the school buses have access to the road. Otherwise, I don't really understand how they can pick up the children. It's kind of funny. There's only 10 residents. There's three school buses, but that's the reality of our modern school systems. Every morning I see them all go by with one child or two childs on each of them. It's the beginning of the route. The second thing would be essentially putting on the hat of a person who's interested in trails. Many good things are happening, as Councillor Steves and Councillor Vandell knows, with trails. And from Creek Bend Road north to the Shore Hill Bridge, there's provisions made and funding in place for a very nice trail. It's going to be built hopefully very soon. However, the city has never really met with the local residents or with other trail groups to talk about south of Creek Bend to the Perimeter Highway. As you know, one of the conditions of this agreement this evening is that the developer is either to A, build a trail behind his property, or B, to pay in lieu the standard fees, which can be, I think, as high as $55 a meter. It's quite expensive. So the question is that I have to think of the cautionary tale of the Vic Wyatt Place and the Hindu Temple easement, which has been a long-standing issue, as Councillor Steves and Councillor Vandell knows, and Councillor Swandell, perhaps, because it's been going on for 11 years, is that because of the small oversight of not to mention during the the agreement for Vic Wyatt Place to be built, that the Manitoba Hydro right-of-way has to include the an easement for a trail to the river. It's essentially landlocked, that future trail, and the city, people like Kevin Nixon, Donna Beaton, legal, property, real estate, have been working on this brief for 11 years at the cost of, I would say, tens of thousands of dollars because of just one momentary lapse of inattention on the part of SOS and possibly, and, you know, as I say, in terms of the a very busy community committee. So I was, my cautionary tale is there's one more property north of this property. It's owned by an out-of-country developer. He may or may not be rezoning in the near future. I wouldn't be surprised to be here next year appearing before you about the rezoning of that property. It's currently not for sale. It's currently, essentially, that is the landlocked sort of a scenario where it allows us to keep the southern trails, Oxbow, Lot 24, the storage facility, the provincial right-of-way, nice lands down there, but how do we access them? How do we get from the people from the trail to get to go further down to see a really nice piece of property? The old campground for the old trailer park is a really cool, nice little forest. It's really nice habitat. So I guess the thing is that I don't want to stress Mr. Lee out here at this moment in time, but my question is that is this the time for the city to be considering legal easements or right-of-ways or property dedications to secure this trail at this point and not to worry or think about the future thinking that maybe it'll get resolved? And if the property to the north isn't resolved, then how do we deal with outstanding issues of public access? Now, I know through Oxbow and the same, Mr. Lee was said that he had no issues personally with the public using the property, Oxbow and the Seine, to access the river. But I'm thinking that there's going to be four condo corporations there, probably within the next 4 years, one every year. And my question is that there are no legal covenants or agreements or easements in place that I know of that would make them honor-bound to follow Mr. Lee's recommendations. So I guess that's my cautionary tale, is if that issue isn't resolved today, there may be the possibility that we'll be spending the next 11 years talking about this. And that's kind of my point on that one, I guess. So I don't know. I don't see, I don't know who's here to represent for parks or for anything like that. As I say, there's been no master plan, so perhaps the planner may have some information for us. So is there any outstanding easements or agreements to allow public access to this trail the city is developing with the developers south of Creek Bend Road? And I guess that's my main thing is, could we please have our school buses have access, and what can we do to make the trail system a viable option? Thank you.
Just before you go, just for clarification, I don't understand what you mean by the school bus part. The school buses don't have access to the road? Is that the problem?
Well, a school bus is 25, 30 feet long. It can't back up into our driveways in a crankshaft scenario. I don't really understand how they could send a school bus down our road unless there was a turnaround or cul-de-sac for them. We have ditches. In other words, if they close off the street for, say, 6 weeks while they rebuild the road, essentially we become a dead-end road. It ends essentially at the bridge from the perimeter highway side. So the question is the school buses, right now they come in from St. Anne's and they loop out onto the perimeter, and they do that coming and going in the morning. My question is that if they don't have access from St. Anne's, while they're rebuilding the road over those 2 to 8 weeks, my question is that, without asking Louisville School Division, how do they deal with an issue where the school bus driver has no way to exit the area?
Just David, do we know for a fact that the road is going to be closed down, or are you wondering if that's the case?
Well, last year the specifications are you have to put in a Portland cement and build them a road,
right.
And last year they did do that. Again, without having Mr. Lee here to confirm the progress and how they do it. Last year, the simplest thing for them to do was to simply build us a temporary road and to simply take out two sections. They did the south side first, and they did the north side first of the road. With the temperatures and the horrible weather, it took him four times longer than he originally anticipated. So I guess the worst-case scenario is that they shut down the road and we don't have access for, let's say, next October, November or something like that.
Just, I, I think, you know, they would provide temporary access, or if they were stuck like that, they would provide a shuttle to get the kids out to the you know, whatever road it is, in a small van or something, and the developer would have to pay for that to the school division.
Mm-hmm. Well, that would be a solution, yeah, absolutely, then. If, in other words, if it's incumbent on them that they assure that children have access, if their parents are working and they can't have the school bus, then that's a good positive move forward then, yeah.
And on the issue of, okay, why we're PRing the section of land that abuts the river, right?
Buying it, it's city land.
Yeah. So, do we need an easement in those circumstances? Or, because we were in the habit of putting easements on these types of properties, or so I thought we were.
Mr. Watson, is the connection back out from the linear part out to the road itself?
Oh.
And as we start to move forward. And we would share his frustrations with sort of the oversight on the Hindu property, is at some point, as we run out of options, if not this property, then the next property, at that point, we will require access back out to the road.
Oh, so you're talking about a side easement.
Correct.
Oh, I got it. Oh, sorry, I was completely in the dark there. Gotcha.
And so within this, we are buying channel capacity within the Seine River, taking the land dedication as a complementary part of that for the north-south connection, but there's very limited access east and west to get to those trails.
Well,
I haven't heard channel capacity very often.
Please to put the pathway.
River bottom.
Okay. Well, how many? We're in the process of building an access at the Hindu temple there between Bikwaid. Okay. So, Mr. Watson, you're suggesting that there be a strict dedication land-wise on one side of the property, which is what you said, what it boils down to?
Well, in an ideal world, and if cost was no object, I would be asking for a dedication or an easement from the road to the river as well as along the back of the riverbank. On the hope or or in the eventuality that we need access in one form or another, and we can't count on the out-of-country developer to be responding in a timely manner to these wonderful new market forces. If that, in an ideal world, that person would be here with his development plan, and we'd be incorporating the two properties together and having a circular route that takes us to the bridge, and then essentially then we have our point of connection. And I guess the thing is that it's an insurance policy, essentially, having the linkage. But again, we're at this point. It's all. We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what. So the thing is it worth pursuing the insurance policy at this point, and not have to worry about it?
Well, I guess that there are two issues here, and I think we actually, first of all, on my original question, I think part of the concern is actually the easement along the river, based on what Mr. Watson just said. What you're looking for is essentially the old Claude Fauré place not to be replicated. So you want an easement to be, you want this, and this would be easily enough accomplished, I think. I mean, because no one here objects to this.
Right, the river comes to the road.
No? Well, no. We're talking about a trail along the river. That's what Mr. Watson is talking about. We already have the land, but having the land is not necessarily the same as having a built-in agreement that says we're going to build the trail. I think that's what he's saying.
We are going to do that.
Okay, that's one thing that he wants. But the other thing that I think I heard him say was, just because we own the land, behind Place Claude Fauré as well, right? But there was no specific... Yeah, there was no. That's what you think.
Mr. Russell, like that connection coming back on the north side of Mr. Lee's proposed development, that we would take an easement along here to get back out to the road.
Do you want this agreement, Mr. Watson, to state that at some point in the future, the city of Winnipeg is going to be building a path along the river, and that to be represented in print?
Well, at this present time, they are obligated to either A, build the trail or B, give you guys the money to build the trail.
That's why I asked earlier if it was in there.
It's in the ACG.
Oh, yeah.
You said it wasn't. Oh.
That's boilerplate.
Then I'm wasting everyone's
time
here.
Number 16.
You've been telling me that for 20 minutes now.
Okay, sorry. I missed it. That's why I thought I was asking the question. Okay. Now, that part I understand. I thought we were missing part of it. Okay.
However, if there's an either or.
I guess the obvious question, Mr. Watson, on your point about access to the river, because if you were standing at the corner of that property, it'd be closer just to walk down the road to the river than it would be to walk down the property to the river at that stage. Okay.
Walk down the road.
Walk down the river to the road, you mean?
No, walk down the road to the river.
To go north.
Yeah.
But it's. Let's say I'm at the Short Hill Bridge and I want to go to the perimeter. Like, imagine this is the same scenario as River Park South, but on the other side of St. Anne's Road. How do I get to the southernmost properties? And the question is that right now there's no linkage. The linkage is the northern property, which isn't developed. It's now an RR5 property, and we can't force that person to sell or develop.
Yeah.
And so the question is that do we want to ensure that we have connectivity at this juncture today?
I hear what you're saying.
Because I believe that the developer has mentioned they have two different building proposals. They have a low density project and a medium density project. And part of the condition, or part of the things that will help them make their decision, is how much square footage they have available. And it may be this right-of-way may actually help them make their decision in terms of whether they build the high density or the lower density. But again, it's not for us to force them to build one particular type of building, but they have a plan B. If we put in the easement, they have a plan B, but they also have a plan A if we don't ask for the easement. That's the way I read it. But they say market forces will determine what they build. But the main thing is that actually I think the decision of what they build is actually being made here in terms of whether you take away that 15-foot right-of-way on their northern tip there. But that's my own – that's absolutely what I'm speculating.
The property gets applied for months from now. You don't need it.
Okay.
Until we know what they actually want to build, it's hard for us to know what they have available to offer up.
Is this something that could be done at plan approval?
I could informally. What we've done on, for example, 701 St. Anne's, which was a public hearing item about a year and a half ago, we've informally requested that the developer, out of their own good nature, provide a public access through their site that's clearly identifiable, but it really primarily is for the residents there. We don't have control over it. We don't maintain it, and it's very informal. If they choose to close it off, they could do so, but it's more of a good nature aspect, and that's the kind of thing that we look for in our typical plan approvals, is that we do want good public connectivity through there. However, that's completely informal.
Be there one day.
That's correct. And it's out of their good nature. In fact, my understanding is that
as opposed to taking it off Creek Bend Road before the.
I'm sorry.
Forget it. No, okay. It's all right. I'm just thinking out loud.
Okay.
Well, thank you, Mr. Watson. I think we have your point.
Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Lee, come back and solve this problem for us, would you?
There's no problem here, Mr. Lee.
Well, I don't think that taking a 15-foot swipe of land down is, very palatable. They're already giving up an acre of the land along the river and paying for the walkway. So I'm not sure what they would be prepared to do as far as more access goes.
Okay. Tough one. All right. Thank you, Mr. Lee. On the... So you think the plan approval idea, sort of the option?
Yeah, what the applicant stated to us, again, is that under one option, which is a lower density, lower intensity development that completely complies, they suspect that they're going to need 100% of their land that's available. It's a different kind of model, an upscale model. I don't know if there's variances that will be required at a future date. I have no idea. If that comes forward, I understand what the applicant has submitted to us is that that's an issue for access. If they go forward with a development akin to what's south, the Oxbow developments, then they might have a little bit of flexibility for, I think what they were speaking of was probably an informal access. I don't know if they were speaking of a formal access. So that would be a plan approval thing that we can try to negotiate and work with the developer on. But again, it's not formal. It's not something that we have ultimate control over.
Okay. Thank you.
I'll move that the report of the Winnipeg Public Service be taken as read.
All those in favor, contrary, carried.
I'll move the receipt of public representations be concluded.
All those in favor, contrary, carried.